So glad each of you are here this morning, and I'm glad to be here and be able to share God's word with you. Something the Lord's been working with me on for quite some time. Thank the Lord for his mercy. I believe in order for us to have a real good grip on the Lord, we need to be aware of his mercy for us. If we ever get to thinking that he doesn't have mercy for me, I'm kind of hopeless, then you know it's going to be easy for Satan to draw you back and to get you into a condition where you're not even trying. The message this morning, as we consider the Lord's mercy upon the past, how that we're here this morning, how the Lord's brought us through so many things. He's forgiven our sins, and he's helped us in times of weakness. He has just looked back on his mercy, and it should give us all a new encouragement, a new strength for today. So as I considered that, I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore, and connecting that word would connect it with the previous chapter about the glorious ministry of the gospel through the Holy Spirit that was given to the disciples after Pentecost. It was a glorious thing. It was so much more glorious than when God came down and thundered and lightning on Mount Sinai. When he came down and he gave the Holy Spirit, that was just so much better. And so he's been talking about that in the third chapter. And so he connects that third chapter with the fourth by this word, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, seeing God has given us his Spirit, and it's so wonderful, and it's so free, and it's so transforming. Therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So I want to speak to us this morning about fainting, what that means, and the scripture admonition to faint not. But this is not just an admonition. This is Paul's resolution. Like the song we sang, number 184, by the grace of God, I will. And there were so many things. Did you notice how many things were included in that song? I will this, and I will this. And it wasn't saying, I'm going to do this by my own strength. It was all by the grace of God. Well, he's saying here, as we've received mercy and grace and strength from the Lord, we faint not, or we make this resolve. We're not going to faint. That's what I get from this. Seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. But he goes on and he tells what he's going to do to endure and to bring the gospel to people. And everything that he said, everything that we're going through is for the sakes of souls. We're going through suffering. Let's read down in here. We're troubled, verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So this is what he's saying, his resolve, we faint not. It's not like, oh, I'm in this cushy job, this preaching job, and I'm not going to give up. That's not the way it was. He was going through a lot, and we will too. And he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And this is what brought him through, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's what he was going through all these things for, was to bear about, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And the purpose of that was so that the life of Jesus could shine out. And that's what's happening to us today. If we can just, perception is everything. If we can perceive our trials as what they really are. What they really are is to bring about the dying or the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus in and through us so that he can be seen in and through us, his life to the people. And so he said, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Verse 13 I'm reading here. Therefore, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And then he says in verse 15, for all things, or all the things that we're going through, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Everything is for people to be able to see Jesus in us and hear the gospel. We have a treasure in this earthen vessel that's tried and pressed and afflicted. But we have this treasure that we want to get out. We want to get out to people. And so because we've received this, and it's so glorious to us, even though we're going through things, we want to get it out to the people. It's for the sakes of the gospel, for the people to believe. So he says here, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. So twice in this same short beginning of his letter, he says this, we faint not. And again, we faint not. For this cause, we faint not. It's because everything that you go through, and you come through it with victory, and the Lord blesses you, and you have mercy, and you can see his mercy. As I look over the past, I behold how the wide arms of mercy held me. As we see all that, we know that. We know that everything that he's bringing us through is actually for something. It's for souls. It's for the salvation of many people so that they can say, oh, thank God, he brought you into my life. Oh, thank God that you have ministered to me. Thank God that I have been saved through your prayers and through your labors. That's what he's saying here, that the thanksgiving, the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. But we often don't see those things. We often don't see that purpose and that end in our sufferings and trials. But Paul did, and because he did, he said, for this cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's only a little part of a great train of thought that's in the scripture in this verse right here. Our outward man perishing, and yet there's a renewal day by day of our spirit, of our inner man from God. And so he goes on and he tells about the affliction. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know I'm skimming a little bit. There's a real depth here that I would just challenge you to just read these several chapters here over and over and see the theme and the thought that's coming out in here. But my thought this morning is this resolve. We faint not. We've received such mercy. We've received such grace in the past that I know that whatever we have ahead of us, it doesn't have to get us. We don't faint. We're not going to just say, oh, I give up. I can't do this. But he said, we're going to make it. And then he goes on and he tells what they're going through. Another place in Ephesians, nearly the same thought, but this one is directed to the church for which he's praying. Ephesians 3, verse 13. He says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So he's saying here, we're not fainting. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep laboring and praying and going through all the persecutions for you to get the gospel to you. And now he's saying, now you don't faint not. Now you faint not. because of all the tribulations I'm going through. Don't let it discourage you. You know, sometimes we bear up really well if it's headed our way, if we're getting the storm. In fact, there are some people who do much better spiritually when they're in a time of affliction. And then when they go through a time of prosperity or ease, they falter, they get loose in their souls. And some people just do really good at their own trials. But I want to tell you, sometimes when you're not really having a personal attack, but you're alongside or you're maybe the spouse of someone who is, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, do you know what? The enemy can get you to try to want to faint, to get weary of it. He brings thoughts to your mind. Aren't you tired of this? Aren't you just tired of this? You just don't ever want to hear about this again. You don't ever want to think about this again. You're just so tired of this. And you know you have to just resist the enemy steadfastly in faith. No, I don't want to think that way. I faint not. I will not faint. The enemy's going to try to get you to faint, to be weary, to quit. I looked up the word faint because there's two meanings, and I didn't get that in a note, so pardon me, I may try to look that up here if I can. I want to go to Hebrews now and look at this word. Hebrews 12, Wednesday night, the Lord gave us a little thought about the Christian journey and how we're running. It's likened to an Olympic race where the runners had to train and be disciplined and endure hardship and lay aside every weight so that they could win the race. And he likens that to us. Here in 12:1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And by the way, this word patience isn't that, oh, that kind of passivity that you just kind of say, "I'll wait on you. I'll just sit here and wait." It's not like that. It's patient. Patient here means cheerful endurance and perseverance. It's not just passive. It's active. It's aggressive. It is a purpose. It's fortitude, determination. That's what this word means. That cheerful endurance. Let us run with cheerful endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, or counting it as nothing, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Here is what we must do when we're going through things. We're tempted to faint when maybe the one that we're with, our spouse or family member or whatever, is going through something, and we're right along with them, suffering along with them, maybe not afflicted with them, but going through it. And he said, "I desire you don't faint at these things." It's tempting sometimes to do that. So here he says, "You consider Jesus, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." How does that help to consider him? For one thing, he tells about him here. He endured the cross. Have you endured the cross as far as a literal crucifixion, death? Have you gone through that? No, none of us have gone through that. So when we consider Christ, who went through that for us, it strengthens us. It helps us. It encourages us. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. You know, he was not just hung on a cross there for the space of several hours, but he was always, always contradicted by the Pharisees, by all of those people who were the Jews, the unbelieving Jews. Day after day after day, they watched for his words to trap him. They came to him. They were against him. They rejected him. They would try to stone him. They would throw him out of their cities. All of these things he went through. Have you ever gone through that? We've never gone through that here. We maybe have endured a little bit of snub of the world, maybe a slight, maybe an ignoring or a looking down their nose at us. But, you know, what is that compared to what Christ went through? Now, there are people in the world this morning that are going through these things. You know, I've read some of what they've written. They still get courage when they look at Christ, even though they're suffering intensely. When they consider Christ, it gives them renewal. It gives them strength. He said, you consider Jesus lest you get wearied and faint in your minds. When we turn our hearts and our minds to look at the Savior, I think there's a line of a song. My daughter was telling me how much it had meant to her. There's light for a look at the Savior. What that means is you may feel like you're in darkness. So many people today are expressing this, that they feel in darkness. They feel depressed. They feel overwhelmed with depression. But there's just enough light to look at Jesus. There's just enough light for you to lift your eyes and find him. You can find him. Look at him. Consider him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now there's another thing that many times we can get faint about. It's on down here in verse 5. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Think about Peter. How many times did Jesus rebuke Peter? How many times did Peter just have it wrong? And he would just speak it out right there with the Lord, and the Lord would rebuke him. What if Peter would have said, well, that's it. I'm not putting up with this. I'm following you. I've left all to follow you. I'm enduring all of this tribulation and this trouble, and you're going to rebuke me? I'm leaving. But he didn't do that. Peter didn't do that. He even denied Jesus just as Jesus told him he would. And he avowed he would not. No, I won't do that. And Jesus said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And what that means is that it doesn't utterly fail. He knew Peter was going to momentarily fail. But he said, Peter, I prayed for you. You know, each of us today, when we're rebuked and chastened of the Lord, we can also remember that we are interceded for by the Lord. He has prayed for us that our faith doesn't fail. Doesn't that touch your heart to think that Jesus has come to his Father and said, Lord, help, and he has your name in there. Help her right now. Give her strength. Renew her. Send your spirit down. Deal with her. Touch her. Comfort her. Help her make it through. She's about to faint. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you. I know the Lord's done that for me. If you can consider Jesus in this way, as well as well as realizing that he suffered for you on the cross. But consider him in this way. He's praying for me. He's interceding for me. Oh, thank God. I won't fail. This won't be too much for me because Jesus is constantly praying for me, mentioning my name to the Father. It says he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save them to the uttermost. What a wonderful promise. Another place it says in Romans 8, he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Those four reasons for us to never completely and utterly fail and faint and go away and quit. Who is he that condemns? Do you feel like sometimes, well, they're just all against me. I just don't feel connected. There's all of these things Satan is trying on people today. Church doesn't love you. Your parents don't love you. God doesn't love you. We have the promises of God's word. None of that is God's word. All of that is imaginations that rise up against God. All of that is from the accuser of the brethren. And this morning, he's been cast down. Jesus has overcome him, and he has this kind of courage and renewal for your comfort, that you don't have to quit and you don't have to faint. And you can say, for this cause, I faint not. I don't faint. I'm not quitting. I am going to go through. I'm persecuted and I'm frustrated and I'm pressed, but somebody that I'm caring for is, and it just goes on and on and on. Or this one, I'm just being chastened of the Lord. It seems like I have so many faults. Why is God doing this to me? I can't ever seem to get it right, and I feel like he's on me all the time. You ever feel like that? What's wrong with me? I've had people say, what's wrong with me? Why do I have to keep going through this? What is God trying to do? Am I so hard-headed that I have to suffer and suffer and suffer? And the enemy will try to get you down and make you faint at God's. Okay, so maybe he is chastening you. We just sang a song over there that someone wrote in a time of suffering. And they decided, by the end of the song, they said, well, I'm just going to stay here. In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. That's what they said in the song. And I used to would not raise my hand to that. And I know if I raise my hand to that and I'm saying, yes, Lord, I know what that means. It means that probably I'm going to go through a lot more. But when I look over the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. He didn't let me fall. He would never forsook me, and he will not now. And so we can make that resolve, no matter what you sin, no matter how I'm chasing, no matter how much I have to dig in here and just wait it out and cheerfully endure. So I'm not going to faint. So that's a resolve that we can have. Now, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus says this directly. Well, actually, Luke is writing about the purpose of Jesus' stories that he told here. We won't go into all of it. We're just going to mention the first verse. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, or for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He doesn't want us to faint in the time where we should be praying. I have really failed in this way in my life. I believe there's times that I could have pressed through and accomplished some victories for myself and for others if I hadn't stopped praying about it. And I really want to gird up the loins of my strength here and pray as I should. For situations and for people and for our country. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to relax our hold. That's one of the one of the meanings, and I think it was the meaning of the Hebrews passage, is to let go, to quit holding on. That's what that meant whenever he said, don't faint when you're rebuked of him. Don't just quit. Don't let go. You take hold of him. My dad used to say, if you're getting a spanking, the best thing to do is to get really, really close to your mama or your daddy, the one that's spanking you, and it won't hurt so bad. He said, but if you try to get out at arm's length and there's still just a spanking on you, it's going to hurt worse. That's what he said. I don't know. But it does seem like that it does hurt worse if we're resisting. If we're just saying, no, but it was, no. But if we just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just go ahead. Keep on, Lord, until you're done with me. He said, we should always pray and not faint. And then he had a story here that he told about a woman. He wasn't comparing himself in this story to an unjust judge who didn't care for God or man. He wasn't saying that God is like that. But he was saying, if a person could move a person like that, how much more can you, by your constant prayers and trust in me, move me? Because I love you and I care for you. And if she could do with importuning, if she could do to an ungodly man and change his mind, then how much more shall God, in verse 7, avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now I want to look at Galatians chapter 6. This one, and then there's another one in 2 Thessalonians 3, nearly the same verse. So we'll just read this one. He's been talking here in Galatians about sowing and reaping, reminding saint and sinner alike that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Remember these laws about reaping. You always reap later. You don't reap right when you sow. You don't know what you're going to get many times when you're sowing the seed. But he wanted to make sure that we remembered. If you sow bad seed, it's going to come up. You reap exactly what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Those three things. You reap later, more, and you reap what you sow. And so he's saying here, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Oh, that's so true. There's so many people that for years and years they sow to their flesh and they don't see any really bad results from it, so they keep on doing it. But you know what? After a while, the seed grows up, and it's real hard for them at that time in their life to start living to reap. It's really sad to see people reaping what they sowed when it was really bad stuff. And you just want to help them, and yet you know God's not mocked. They didn't get one over on God. What they sowed is truly coming back to hurt them and to haunt them because it was what they sowed. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, and it starts now. The blessings don't start when you die. When you sowed in your youth and childhood, when you sowed to the Spirit, like taking God's word into your mind, memorizing the Bible verses, that's sowing to the Spirit. And when you sow to the Spirit, you reap wonderful blessings from those Bible verses later. That's just one example. Making friends of God's children, getting close to people, helping people, that's wonderful spiritual seed. It comes back to bless you. It really does. When you've taken time to create healthy, good, strong, and close relationships with people, you get to where you need them later, and they're there. All those truths are, they come just like they say, like it says here. And then in verse 9 it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I've been had a little burden for some time now to encourage young mothers and fathers. This verse right here, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Young parents, don't faint. Don't faint when it's hard. It's really hard sometimes. It seems like that there's some families that really go through it. They go through sicknesses. I know the winter is really hard on a young family because of the sicknesses. And when you have several sick in the family, and when you can't do the things that maybe you plan on, and you're staying home and you're thinking of all the things that people are getting to do and you're homesick, that kind of thing. The trials of raising a family, they're real, and it's not for sissies. It's not for wimps. It's for people who will say, I'm not going to faint. I'll faint not. I may be weary. I may be so tired. I may want a little break. But you know what? I'm not going to run away. You know what? The devil will tempt you as a young mother or father. Just get in the car and drive and never come back. Yeah. He'll do that. But you know what? That's not the answer. We can't run away. We can't run forever. I know people that did it. Ran away from their families. Left the spouse to raise the children. You know what? God may have mercy and bring you back and cause those children to love you once you're old. I don't know. It might happen. But wouldn't it be better to stay right there and go through the hardships and do the good? Don't be weary in well-doing. Do the things that are good. Put those seeds into your children. Teach them diligently the Word of God. Pray for them. Pray with them. Teach them how to pray. Show them who is important to you. Show them who gives you joy. Show them what comforts you. It's not food. It's not movies. It's not shopping. It's Jesus. I wonder how many dear young people today know that little secret. Jesus is my joy. Jesus is what makes me radiant. Jesus is what gives me comfort. None of these earthly things. There's nothing that gives me joy but Jesus. It's not my spouse. Yes, the spouse can give you a lot of joy. There's much joy in godly marriage. But I want to tell you, if a girl gets married to have her happiness in her husband or him in her, they're going to be disappointed. You can't get it through a person. Joy comes from the Lord Jesus. It comes from putting him first. It comes from putting yourself last. A lot of these young girls, I think today they're getting married. They have these fairy tale weddings. They spend thousands of dollars. And they are searching for something. They want a satisfaction from this wedding. And I think they come off of it many times down in the dumps. Well, that's over. I'm still unhappy. Why am I so unhappy? And then they begin to search and they begin to... I think about that song that I heard one time. Is there life out there? Somebody looking for something outside of her responsibilities and duties that were kind of dull and boring. Is there life out there? That is what these young sisters and young ladies are being tempted with. To go looking for something. It's not there. It's in Jesus. The joy that you're looking for. I'm not just speaking here to the people today. I'm thinking of a whole lot of people. And I'm speaking generally. I'm speaking with a burden for souls. The joy you're looking for is not in an affair. It's not on an exotic vacation. It's not on a job. It's in Jesus. And he can help you to find it in your spouse and in your children as you go, as you do everything unto him. When we do our work as unto the Lord, it's like this. This is a type. The princess that found baby Moses in the river, he told Jochebed, the baby's real mother, he said, she said, go and nurse this child for me, and I'll give you wages. This is what the Lord does. He gives us children, and he says, you take and care for this child for me, and I'll give you wages. Now, I got a hold of that as a young mother, and I realized that my responsibility was to God. It was faith and trust in God that I was to do the responsibilities of my home. It wasn't outcome-based. I didn't do everything with a finger in the wind. I didn't think I was tempted to, but I learned. I do this in faith. I don't see the end of it right now. And because you can't see the end of it, a lot of times you think, well, what's the use of this? What's the use of this day-by-day discipline? You teach them today, they've forgotten tomorrow. You teach them again tomorrow, they've forgotten the next day. You go over and over. Sometimes you just get in bed and you think, will they ever learn this? Will they ever do this on their own? Will they be responsible adults at all? And you just lay there and you think, what's going to happen? I'm not doing very good. I remember many times saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm really a failure at this. I'm not doing very well at it. Help me, God, help me. I remember I had a little 9-month-old one time, and I was sunk down in the church nursery on my knees crying and saying, I don't know what to do. Help me. And you know what happened to me that night after I got out of the nursery and I kind of cheered up and went back in? A lady handed me a little pamphlet about child training. Now, I could have gotten real offended and thought, oh, boy. Even people, they know I'm no good. And, you know, they're trying to tell me what to do. But I had just been on my knees in the nursery saying, God, help me. I'll take any help I can get. And so when she handed me that, I thought, well, this is the Lord. And so I read that. There were some little seeds that were sown in that pamphlet of how to discipline in a way that will bring results. And you know what? I tried those things, and it started working. Well, see, God, he's right there. He's right there to bring you help and comfort when you need it. God is the one who renews you so that you can face these things. Don't be weary in well-doing. For you will reap. In due season, you'll reap. Young parents, you will reap if you won't faint. Now, there's some people that check out of motherhood and fatherhood long before the children are raised. They're done. I don't care what you do. Just don't do that. When they get to be teenage, don't check out. Don't say, I don't care what you do. Just go do it. Just get out of here. No, don't do that. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. I know there are so many discouraged young parents today because it's hard. But you get on your knees, you talk to the Lord and tell him exactly how you feel and what you're tempted with and beg him to help, and he will help you. I know he will help you because he helped me. There's another a scripture that I thought of, and it's not to whoop anyone or beat this over our heads, but this one has come to me many times. Proverbs 24 and 10. I've thought about this many, many times when I was feeling faint in my life. In afflictions, maybe a lot of sickness. I remember times that we would go through 5 and 6 weeks of somebody being sick I remember times that Dan and I said, will we ever go to church together? It was like one of us had to stay home and the other one would go. And then the next church service, the other one would go and the other one would stay home. And we would go through weeks like that. And we would say, you know, I remember talking with other young mothers. Do you get anything out of church? I can't get anything out of church. I can't even hear sometimes. I can't stay in there long enough to get what they're talking about. Those kind of things young parents go through. And I remember some parents that quit. They just didn't come anymore. And it never did get any better for them spiritually because they quit. The kids were so loud, this and that, they quit. Don't ever quit. Don't faint. He says here, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And I would think of that. I'd read that scripture and I'd think, I don't want just to say that I have small strength. I want to feel like that I'm a strong soldier for the Lord. Then there's another one in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 12, this little thought in verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? It's almost like the Lord's got a little sense of humor here. If you're running against people, if you're running a race with people, and you're tired, how are you going to run a race with a horse? And then it goes on. And there's probably a deeper thought than that. But sometimes we do. We get wearied over so little and disgusted and frustrated and want to quit. Oh, and there are other things. You look at another parent, maybe you have a child that's just sick for 5 weeks. But then you compare yourself to a parent that has a special needs child where they have sickness and they anticipate it for the next 20 or 30 years. I'll never. And you think to yourself, I can do better than this. Now, I'm just sharing my heart to you this morning as a young parent, as a young mother. Temptations to faint, to be weary in well-doing, to give up. They come to us. We're real people. These are real temptations. But we don't want to faint. We don't want to say, I've got it so hard. If you've run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how are you going to contend with the horses? Lord, I don't want to just give up and say, I don't have enough strength. I can't do this. I can't run with these footmen. Because, you know what? The Lord may want to give me a race with horses sometime. He may want there to be something greater. He always graduates you and gives you things according to your abilities. He really does. We must look at him and say, Lord, I know you won't give me anything that I can't bear. When I look over the past again, I just see how his mercy carried me. He didn't give me anything that I couldn't bear. He never asked more of me than I could do. He always gave me according to my ability. Isn't that true of the Lord? Can't you just look back and see that? His mercy has been so great. Therefore, we faint not. Now, what he does. Let's look at that scripture that I just kind of referred to, 2 Corinthians. Let's see. No, it's 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. One scripture, I think, 1 Peter says, He's accomplished the same afflictions in your brethren that are in the world. That's helped me a lot to know that I'm nothing special. My trials are not anything more than someone else is dealing with. And if they can deal with it, I can deal with it. He said here, they're common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I want to tell you by experience, there have been ways escape ways made by the Lord for us and for me all through our lives. There has always been a point where the Lord began to work. There was always a point right before that that we wondered if he would work. There was always the little moment of, I'm just about to my breaking point. Lord, I can't take any more. But Lord, if this is what you want us to go through, help me to be faithful. And that's where, that is always the way for escape. The way for escape is to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, if this is your will, then not my will. That is always the way for me to escape, is to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And that's, it seems like that's a little process. You go through the trouble until it gets to the big old boiling point and you're in despair. And so then you go, not my will. And then the Lord comes and he gives some help right then. And this one, Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28. Well, look in 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You know what? The enemy would like to put those kind of doubts in our minds, and it's ridiculous. God is a God who sees everything. How dare he accuse God that he doesn't see you? Has the Lord forgotten me? Has he passed over? Have you gone on without me, Lord? Am I just back here and you're not even thinking about me anymore? Oh, the enemy will just bring those awful thoughts to you. Do not believe them. Do not give them one chance. If you have to, say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. Do that. I rebuke these thoughts in the name of the Lord. Lord, help me. And I'm just telling you, these are things that I have done, literally done. So I know what I'm talking about. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. I'm glad that's true. I'm glad all of that is true. You know, if you could just say, well, my God is God just like me. He's a human like me, and he's gone through all this like me. That would be, there's a limit on that. But my God is limitless. That would be awful if that's all we had. Someone that we followed that was just as limited and as weak as we. But God, he doesn't faint. He never slumbers or sleeps. I remember one time I talked to a mother who had a child that had Downs. And she looked at me and she said, Angela, my God never slept. He gave me this child. He gave this child to me. She said, it's not something that I'm afflicted with. It's not an oversight. God wasn't looking the other way. He gave this child to me. She was taught me a great lesson there. He doesn't faint. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's not weary. And there's no searching of his understanding. God's unsearchable. Remember the message on unsearchable where we found out that it meant We don't know the source. We don't know where God's going to get something. And we don't know the end of it. We don't know the beginning and we don't know the end. We don't know where he's going to bring our help. And we don't know just how far the good is going to go from this trial. What he's going to do from here on now. We don't know that. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And that is the promise that we can take from this message. Is when I'm at my extremity. Sister Williams used to say, Man's extremity is God's opportunity. How many times I heard her say that? Lots. But whenever we get to that low point, we can count on God is going to give me the strength. I'm going to go to God right now, and I'm going to come back from there, and I'm going to have more strength. That's really true. That's where we need to go. When we're at that point, then whatever you can do, say, honey, I need 15 minutes in my room. I need it. Or maybe in the middle of the night, you don't have 15 minutes any time of the day. You got it all by yourself maybe in the middle of the night, and you're up with a sick baby. The Lord can renew your strength. He can give you a verse of a song. He can give you a snippet of a verse in the Bible. You don't have the Bible. It's in the dark. You've got a baby who's going to cry if you put him down. And your heart is weary. The Lord can give you just a few words out of the Bible, and it will do everything you need. I am amazed at what God can do for body, mind, and soul in just a few words. It gives you another day's worth of strength, another hour's worth of strength. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He said, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's not like God's going to help you run another mile. There are going to be times in your trials, if you'll wait on him, if you'll look to him, that he's going to do so much more than help you run another mile. He's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up above. I know that's happened with Dan and his affliction. There have been times that the Lord just gave us strength to go another day, gave Dan strength to go another hour. But there's been times when he absolutely lifted him up on something supernatural that was totally unexpected. And it was just like, wow, what the Lord just did. I can't believe it. You just want to say, that is wonderful. Thank you, God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, we can make all the resolve we want to, but the way the message is ending up today is, we've got to go to the Lord. This is where we're going to get the strength to not faint. It's going to come not from us and our resolve, but it's going to come from waiting on the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, you go to him, you get before him, you lay your burden down to him, you listen to him, you refuse to trust in anything else but him, you refuse to not trust in him, you refuse to doubt him. And you just wait. Lord, I don't feel anything. I don't know anything. I've forgotten everything from the past. I know you've helped me in the past, but I'm just too tired to even think. I just need you to help me. And the Lord will help you. He'll give you something. He'll give you something, right? You just wait on him. A lot of times, people, I think, don't want to wait on him. But they that wait on him shall renew their strength. Oh, Lord, help us today. My heart is really burdened for families and for mothers and fathers who are going through a lot. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. You know the tears of motherhood. The Lord takes them all. And he bottles them up. I really believe he does. He bottles them up, and at the time that your child needs it, he's going to pour them out on your child or whoever it is that you're praying for. Praise God. Bless your hearts today as you hear these words.